with you. This morning we're here to worship God, and we're here to remember Jesus. And I appreciate the discussion that we had in Bible class and the songs that we've sung this morning. And you know, it's great to come together away from the world inside this building and just spend some time in God's Word together. But today we come specifically also to remember Jesus and His sacrifice for us. And my hope is that the passage that we look at this morning will help us focus, before we take the Lord's Supper, on what Jesus really did for each one of us personally. And I hope it will help us as we memorialize Jesus today while we partake of the Lord's Supper. So I want to start by reading, again, I said Matthew chapter 27. We'll start in verse 15, and we'll read through verse 26. And it says, "Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner whom they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, 'Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?' For he knew that because of envy they had handed him over. And while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, 'Have nothing to do with that righteous man. For last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, 'Which of the two do you want me to release for you?' And they said, 'Barabbas.' Pilate said to them, 'Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?' And they all said, 'Crucify him.' And he said, 'Why? What evil has he done?' But they kept shouting all the more, saying, 'Crucify him.' And when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and he washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, 'I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves.' And all the people said, 'His blood shall be on our hands and on our children.' Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified." You know, this is truly a fascinating but sobering story, isn't it? The story of Barabbas, many times, I think, gets lost in the greater story of what's happening to Jesus. It's a story I don't ever honestly remember spending a whole lot of time studying, but as I've grown older, I find it more and more fascinating. And today I want to take some time to do just that, to look at Barabbas. I want to examine what might have been going on with him during this time, and I want to look at who Barabbas was. And I want to talk about what Barabbas received, and then I'll try to draw some points of application for ourselves. Just an interesting side note, Barabbas is included in all four of the gospel accounts of the crucifixion. I think that's significant, that he finds himself in all four accounts. And before we really dig in, I want to look at another verse real quick in Acts 3:13. And Peter is in the middle of his second sermon to the Jews. And I want us to kind of hold on to what this passage is telling us, because we're going to come back and see this again later. But in Acts 3:13 through 15, it says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God had raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witnesses." And the first thing I want to ask you this morning to consider is, who did they trade for Jesus? Who did they trade for Jesus? This verse tells us he was a murderer, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But I want you to think about Barabbas. I want you to think about his condition. Where was he? He was in a prison. And as he sat in that cell, and as everything that was going on outside that we read about in Matthew 27, I wonder what Barabbas heard. And I want us to think about maybe, and I'm going to use a little bit of liberty here, maybe this is what Barabbas heard. You know, the crowd, they're getting loud. And Pilate, I don't know if he heard everything Pilate asked the crowd, but I would imagine when the whole crowd shouted out, Barabbas knew what day it was. Because they said this was something they did all the time at this time of year. They would release one prisoner. But they would also crucify one. And Barabbas hears the crowd and he hears Pilate. And then he hears Barabbas, the shout of his name. I don't know what Barabbas is thinking at that point. But then the next thing he hears is, crucify him. Crucify him. And the crowd is getting louder. Crucify him. And I just want you to think, if that's you sitting in that prison and what you're hearing, the next thing you would hear would be the guards coming to take him out. And I don't know what was going through his mind, if he had heard that the crowd had chosen to release him and crucify Jesus, or if that was he knew that that was their intent. But imagine if you're walking out a prisoner, knowing that you're condemned, that you're guilty, that you were the one deserving of death, and you walk before this crowd. And he looks over and he sees another man. And maybe he had seen Jesus before. But I guarantee if he had seen Jesus before, what he saw now looked different. Jesus, remember, he had been arrested, he had been chained, and he's now before this crowd. And I would imagine he may not be recognized like he would have been before. Although crowds used to follow Jesus, now even his own disciples had left him. One thing Barabbas definitely knows is the crowd, for some reason, is angry. And the people were shouting his name, but suddenly, as he stands there, his chains are unfastened. And Pilate motions for him to go. He walks free. He walks into the crowd. And I want you to imagine for a second, put yourself in that crowd. But don't put yourself in the crowd as the angry mob, but maybe one of Jesus' friends that was watching all this happen. And I want to ask you to ask yourself, what would you have shouted that day? In the midst of that crowd that was growing more and more angry, says a riot was breaking out, would you have shouted, no, free Jesus? You know, the interesting thing is, this crowd, this group wasn't necessarily, they weren't fans of Barabbas. They weren't necessarily wanting Barabbas or a man like Barabbas back among them, but they just wanted Jesus dead more. And can you imagine Barabbas's reaction as he walked into the crowd? You know, I sometimes wonder, and we don't have a lot of detail on this, but I sometimes wonder how did Barabbas walk into this crowd? When he realized, I'm the one set free, the shouts of crucify weren't for me, did he walk out in disbelief and disappear among the crowd? Did he push through the crowd and get and run away and try to distance himself from anything, say, I'm getting out of here before they try to change their minds on this? You know, I don't know. But I want to consider a few things about Barabbas. First, I want to consider, who was Barabbas? And I'll tell you that the scriptures tell us that Barabbas was a man that was worthy of death. John 18:40 tells us that he was a robber and he was a thief. Mark 15:7 says that he was imprisoned with the insurrectionist. He committed murder in the insurrection. And the insurrectionists that are mentioned here are fellow insurgents and rioters. They weren't worried about keeping the peace. This isn't the type of guy that, you know, you or I would want to hang out with. You know, maybe Barabbas killed a Roman citizen. Maybe he was involved in insurrection against the Roman government. Whatever it was that he was caught up in, he was guilty. He was worthy of death under the Roman law. A Roman prison is not like the prison system we have today. These prisons weren't meant for rehabilitation of criminals. If you were sent to a Roman prison, they were typically held in a Roman prison until they died or until they were put to death. If a crime was committed by a non-Roman, it was typically punishable by death. This was not a place where Barabbas went thinking, you know, I'm just going to do my time. And after I serve my time, I'll go back out. I'll rejoin my family and friends, and I'll just resume my normal life. This was a place where you went when you were condemned to die. But now I want to look at the difference between who Barabbas was and who Jesus was. Barabbas was not a good man, as we've discussed. He was a person who hated the Roman system and was willing to take what wasn't his. He was willing to kill if someone got in the way of what he wanted. Jesus, on the other hand, was perfect. When he was before the high priest and Pilate, he didn't revile in return. And I can't imagine a greater contrast between two individuals. And we're going to come back to Acts 3:13 now that we looked at earlier. I'm going to read it for you again because I think this is so key to this story. Peter says, "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, to which we are witnesses." Something I want you to notice about that passage: Pilate wanted to let Jesus go. And if you're Pilate, can you imagine? There is not a greater contrast between these individuals. How could these people ever ask for a murderer to be released over the Prince of Life? And you know, it honestly makes me wonder if Pilate, when he throws out the two names, if he picked Barabbas for that very reason. If in Pilate's mind he thought, if I pick this criminal, this notorious criminal, people knew who Barabbas was. If I pick him, there's no way this group of people is going to pick Barabbas to be released. They remember him. They remember his bad deeds. They remember that he's a murderer, that he's a thief. There's no way that they're going to pick Barabbas. But Pilate was wrong. Their hearts were so turned against Jesus that it didn't matter at this point who Pilate put on the other side. The people were intent to destroy Jesus. You know, if you really sat in front of Jesus and asked him about his past, you'll never find a time where Jesus acted wrong, even when he slapped in the face and spat on and mocked. As the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he didn't revile in return. And again, I really think Pilate just thought there was no way this choice would ever be made. He wanted to let Jesus go. But now what I want to turn to is looking at what did Barabbas really receive that day? Was it freedom? Was it freedom that Barabbas received? And maybe it was. But I want us to consider that Pilate had looked for every way to fulfill the law, to let Jesus go, but the crowd would not relent. And seeing that a riot was going to break out, he let Barabbas go. This wasn't what he wanted to do. Barabbas deserved to die, and according to the Roman law, because of the crimes that were done, a death had to occur. But I want to suggest to you that what Barabbas truly received that day was mercy. You know, mercy is not receiving that which is deserved. When we ask for mercy from someone, we are asking for forgiveness. So Barabbas received mercy that day, didn't he? Pilate was a just man, and he realized because of the crimes that were committed, justice required death, but it wasn't Barabbas that was going to die that day for the sins that he committed. It wasn't Barabbas who was going to pay the price, but Jesus was going to die. Jesus literally stood in Barabbas' place and received what would have been just for Barabbas to receive. But now I want us to think about the rest of the story. The Bible doesn't tell us any more about what happened with the life of Barabbas, but we know that day he received mercy and a second chance at life. And I wonder sometimes, what did he do with his life? What did Barabbas do? And sometimes I hope one day we'll know the answer to that. Someone said before, I hope when I get to heaven, the answers to these things are all on a DVD and I can pop in, the life of Barabbas and watch how it ended. So today what I want to do is talk about how it may have ended. You guys ever watched a DVD and you get to the end and now we have all these extra features, right? How the movie's made, all kinds of extra scenes. And when me and my wife watch a movie, she loves to go through all the additional stuff that's there. And sometimes you'll see alternate ending on a movie. And we'll watch the alternate ending and she's, I like that ending better. Why didn't they use that ending? It would have been a better movie if they used that ending. But somewhere, someone thought the ending that they used was the best ending. But there was still enough good there to use or to leave them there for us all to watch. And so that's what I kind of want to do in our minds today is think about Barabbas and some possible alternate endings for his life. So the first one. Maybe Barabbas walked out into that crowd and he hurried to get away from the crowd, fearing that someone he had stolen from, or maybe the family of the person he had murdered was out in that crowd and they may remember him. And maybe he just got out of town. Maybe he moved on to the next town and began another life of crime, stealing, murdering, plundering, rising up against the government. And I got to tell you, if that's the ending that Barabbas took, I think we would all say, what a horrible ending. What a waste. Barabbas was angry at God. Maybe another ending, Barabbas is angry at God because life in the Roman prison with his friends and the insurrectionists was good. Maybe that's what he liked. And on the outside, Barabbas had to rob and steal to get what he needed, but maybe life in a Roman prison was better than the life he had before. You guys ever seen that? Someone that's in the prison system that says, it's really not all that bad. I think I just needed some structure in my life, and the prison provides that. Maybe that would have been his attitude, and he would have been mad at God because now he's on the outside having to try to figure out life again. And I think we would all say, wow. What a waste. Or maybe he just went and lived in isolation, never to be seen or heard from again. Went to a place where no one knew him. Never had any impact on society or anyone else. Never shared his story. Just lived alone. And I would say that would be a waste as well. But maybe, just maybe, maybe Barabbas became a disciple. Maybe Barabbas taught the gospel to others, telling them about the mercy he received through the humility of Jesus Christ on that day. That would be a good ending, wouldn't it? If there's a bunch of endings, that's one I would pick. That a man who stood condemned to die, stood in front of a crowd who had so much hatred for a perfect and sinless man, that man stood in his place and he then received life. I hope that Barabbas, because of that, would have become a disciple and would have taught others about Jesus Christ, the man who stood in his place that day. Let's look at Barabbas' name. Barabbas' name means son of Abba. I think it's interesting because if you look at what that means, it literally means son of a father or master. You know, I don't know what happened with Barabbas after this story. But I want to tell you something. If we really want to know what this story tells us, I hope it tells us that I am Barabbas, that you are Barabbas, that we put on son of the father or master as our name. Because that's powerful. I hope that he lived as a son of the father after he received that gift of life. You see, in this story, we have a man, Barabbas, the son of the Father, on a stage before the crowd with the sinless son of our heavenly Father. And instead of the murderous robber dying, the sinless Son of God dies. What are we supposed to learn from that? 1 Peter 3:18 says it this way, "For Christ also died for sins once and for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Or maybe it's this, in Romans 5, verse 10, it says, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." Do you want to know how I'm Barabbas? Do you want to know how you're Barabbas? Romans 3:23 states, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." If the wages of sin are death and all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we all are just like Barabbas and we need God's mercy. And I want to ask you, how do we receive God's mercy? The only way we receive it is through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. I stood condemned before a crowd just like Barabbas. When I fall short, when I transgress, when I miss the mark, I am the one who deserves the punishment for that. But Jesus steps in. God sent his Son to the cross to stand in my place so that I could be set free just like Barabbas was on that day. And you know, we're faced with the exact same decision Barabbas was faced with. Are you going to walk into the crowd after God takes your chains off and sets you free only to return to a life of sin? Are we just going to isolate and do nothing? Are we going to shake our fist at God and be angry? And just like we said with Barabbas, it would be a waste. It would be a waste if we did that with our lives. So I want to ask you this morning, do you believe that you are the Father's son or daughter? Are you truly Barabbas? Do you understand that you have sinned? You've fallen short. I think we all have. We've all felt that in our lives. But maybe you have, and you've never really known how to deal with that. Well, God tells us. He sent his Son into this world, hoping that none would perish, but that all would have eternal life. So this morning, we're going to remember the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. The body that was broken. That while we stood shackled and chained by our sin, was offered freely as a gift for us, so that we might receive mercy. Have you accepted that mercy? Are you telling others about that mercy that comes through a relationship with the Son, Jesus Christ? If you've not given your life to Christ, you are walking back into the crowd and disappearing. We ask you this morning to consider your life, to consider the free gift that you were given, that God wants to release you from the bondage of sin and death. And if you have not named him as your Father, you will have that opportunity this morning. And we ask that you let your need be known as we stand and sing.